From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. After Democratic Senator Patty Murray introduced a bill requiring 14 days of paid sick leave for American workers, GOP Senate Chair Lamar Alexander immediately blocked the bill, saying it should be funded by taxpayers, not the private sector. The spread of the coronavirus has highlighted the gaping holes in the U.S. economy, including the lack of paid sick leave across the nation. Even aside from the new virus, millions of Americans contract the seasonal flu each year, and tens of thousands die. Paid sick leave is strongly correlated with fewer infections and deaths. With this new, highly infectious and deadlier disease at hand, will the government do the right thing? My guest is Elise Gould, senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute. She focuses on issues of wages, poverty, inequality, economic mobility, and healthcare. And she recently wrote the piece, Amid COVID-19 Outbreak, The Workers Who Need Paid Sick Days the Most Have the Least. Welcome to the program, Elise.
Thank you for inviting me.
So first, how bad is it in the United States with regard to paid sick leave, say federal or state government workers versus the private sector, as well as state by state? There must be, I imagine, quite a geographic disparity.
Yes, absolutely. There's a great variation of who has access to paid sick days. But if we just step back a second, what we know is why paid sick days are so important, obviously because of the pandemic and the CDC recommendations for workers to stay home to avoid social contact if they can. Obviously, if they're sick, they need to stay home and quarantine themselves. So it's very important, utmost importance right now for people to have access to paid sick days. And as you said, it's important generally, right? When they contract the flu or even colds, anything that is contagious, you wouldn't want that getting in our food or being spread respiratorily across the population. So that's very important. But unfortunately, a quarter of workers don't have access to paid sick days in this country today. And there are great disparities in who has access to paid sick days. High-wage workers are much more likely to have it than low-wage workers. A very small share of low-wage workers have it. And another thing about this is that even those who do have paid sick days, they may only get 3, 4, or 5 days a year. That's not going to be nearly enough to cover the amount of time that workers are going to be quarantined or how much time they need to take care of themselves in getting through the illness or maybe even a family member if it spreads.
And, you know, even though it is obvious, can you explain the correlation between reduced infection rates in general for, say, things like the seasonal flu and paid sick leave?
Sure. If you work in a job that has a lot of human contact, let's say something in the service industry, maybe a restaurant worker. If you're a restaurant worker, you work with food and you have an illness that is contagious and you do not have paid sick days, as many of them do not, and you go to work because you have a little bit of a cold and you need that paycheck. You need that paycheck to make ends meet. And therefore, you may be contagious and it could get in people's foods or it could spread otherwise. And that's why it's so important that workers have paid sick days. And that's why it's so important for the government to step up, because those workers who have paid sick days, those are often workers that don't have as much human contact. They may work in the service sector, but it could be in information, could be in professional or business services, things that can more easily be done from home. And again, those are the places where people have more likely to have that paid sick day, so they can stay home to take care of themselves or their family.
And in your research shows that the information sector seems to have the highest percentage of workers with paid sick days, 95%, which people in the information sector, I imagine, are much more able to telecommute which of course, and they are, I am also assuming, among the highest paid workers in the industry, in the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. When we think across the economy, workers in information, as you said, more than 90% of them have access to paid sick days. Over half of them have the ability to work from home. So if they're well and they need to work from home, they can continue getting their paycheck. If they're sick, they can use their paid sick days. They're also going to be more likely to have health insurance. And if you have health insurance, then you're more likely to seek care when you need it because you're not afraid of the costs. and you're more likely to have a usual source of care. So all of those things go hand in hand. Those inequalities that we have right now in our economy today are exacerbated by something like a pandemic that hits those people that don't have those workplace benefits because we don't have that safety net in this country.
Now, we do, I understand, state by state have access to unpaid sick leave, which basically means if you choose to stay at home because you're sick, you won't get paid, but you will likely still have a job to return to when you're better. That's hardly compensation enough.
Yeah, that's right. There are a number of states that offer paid sick leave. I believe there's 12 states now in DC who have that on their books, not enacted, not in action yet in all of them. But there have been states, obviously, that have been making the case here that the workers in that state, it is better off for those workers, it is better off for those communities that workers stay home, and they recognize that, which is why they're guaranteeing a certain number of paid sick days. And so that's absolutely important. When a worker doesn't have access to that and they stay home, yes, they may have the ability to come back to work the next day. They may, if they have to take off too many days, they may have a hard time covering rent or putting food on the table, and they do risk getting fired.
Which are the states where paid sick leave is the law and it's actually in effect, and who does it apply to?
Sure. Yeah, you're looking at workers in Arizona, in California, workers in Connecticut, Maryland, Massachusetts, Maine, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, Oregon, Rhode Island.
So these are laws, these are states where state-level legislators passed laws, and do they apply to all workers, or are there exceptions? Because often we see exceptions carved out for precisely those workers that need it the most.
That's true. So in some of them, it's going to apply to all workers. Some of them is going to be larger firms. They may have different requirements for smaller firms. Some of them may have a waiting period. So you have to have worked there a certain amount of time before you can accrue. So there are definitely different provisions across the states.
Do you see correlations in those states with paid sick leave with lowered rates of infections of other diseases?
Yes, there is useful research that has come out looking at just the flu virus and to see how many people are getting flu versus in states that have it, have paid sick days, and in states that don't. And it appears that there is a reduced contagion effect of having a paid sick days law. It is common sense that that would happen.
Now, states can enact such laws on their own, those who don't already have it, right, in the absence of federal action?
That's right. States are doing it. There are some states, though, that have restricted localities from doing it. So if there's some sub-state area, a county or a city that wants to enact it, there are some states that have said, no, you're not allowed to do that. But it is true that some states have done the opposite, and they have not only allow localities to do it, but they have a state mandate. So in California, for instance, there is a state law about paid sick days, but then there are some localities that have decided to top that off and be more generous in providing those paid sick days to their workers.
Now, there are certain industries where I imagine workers are even more vulnerable than others, say people who might be working in nursing care homes, because this disease is much more dangerous for elderly Americans. So we've seen, for example, the outbreak in King County, Washington, near Seattle, where there was a nursing home that was an epicenter of the disease. And so I imagine the workers in places like that are particularly vulnerable, as are, of course, the residents.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of those workers who work in those kinds of facilities, it's very important work. That caregiving work often is low paid, is undervalued, and the working conditions can be much improved, and the benefits that they could get, like paid sick days, would improve it as well. So for those workers, it's of utmost importance, if they are sick, that they stay home. Otherwise, we know that the dangers of reaching that elderly population, their health may already be compromised, and this could be deadly for them.
Now, the incubation period of this particular coronavirus strain that is rapidly spreading across the globe is so long, 1 to 2 weeks. This virus survives on surfaces for something like 9 days. It is so highly infectious that it seems as though those nations that have successfully brought it under control have done so through very quick and very extreme so-called social distancing measures, which is maybe a nicer way of saying a voluntary quarantine. In a country like the US, where we have such high wealth inequality and such vulnerability for low-wage workers, it seems as though unless the government steps in to provide relief to these low-wage workers, we can't do social distancing because it's the difference between being able to put food on the table for many families, right?
That's right. But we can, because policymakers can step up and do the right thing here, right? They absolutely have it within their power to make sure that workers get paid when they are quarantined. They could put strengthen the unemployment insurance program to make sure that they get that. Putting money into the payroll tax is pretty much too little too late. We need to be sending people checks, and that needs to be progressive in a way that those workers that are more likely to be hit, not only because they might be more likely to contract the illness, but they're actually going to be hit because of some of the how this may affect the economy. So there's going to be less demand for restaurants, for leisure, hospitality in general, right? We're already seeing that with people canceling flights and restricting how much travel they're going to take on. That has a ripple effect for those workers in terms of reduced hours and potential layoffs. And so we need to have the government step in right now and, yes, provide those paid sick days, but also provide those income supports to individuals and to states who need to take measures as well. You could have aid to states in the form of paying for those Medicaid matches because we know that the healthcare system is going to be stretched at this time.
The CDC, as you had mentioned, requires or is recommending 14 days of sick leave available to workers, which is the number of sick leave days, paid sick leave days that Senator Patty Murray introduced. But for those states that you'd mentioned earlier, where paid sick leave has been enacted into law, does the number of days vary state by state? I mean, because in a pandemic like this one, 3, 4, or 5 days of paid sick leave a year is not nearly enough, right?
That's right. It's not nearly enough. And even those workers who do have a certain amount of paid leave from their employers, they often don't have enough days accrued. Maybe they haven't qualified, they haven't been able to accrue them, or they haven't saved them from year to year to be able to add up to 14 days. 14 days just to quarantine yourself. It could take longer to recover from the illness. And if a family member gets it, you could be easily talking about 3 weeks, and workers simply don't have that. So having a federal policy that provides a floor to make sure everybody has access is absolutely important.
This particular coronavirus seems to have exposed so many holes in our economic system. The that these holes that people like yourself and economists who have been pointing out that workers are suffering even before this, it seems as though it's brought into stark contrast the huge weaknesses in the way in which our industries have been set up beyond paid sick leave. Just the fact that we don't have a single payer healthcare or a nationalized healthcare system is a critical issue, right? I mean, Trump basically seems so proud of the fact that he had to strong arm the health insurance industry executives to waive co-pays for coronavirus testing, not just treatment, but testing, not treatment at all, rather, but only the testing part of it, and seemed to make no mention of the nearly 30 million Americans were simply uninsured.
Right. It's not only important that people can stay home, but that they can get the screening that they need and to be able to get the treatment that they need. And without health insurance, people don't know where to go. Even people that want to get tested aren't necessarily sure where to go. And then what do they do when they need the treatment? It can be very expensive. We know that people don't seek medical care when they need it because of the costs, and that could make it much worse for them.
What are you recommending that the government do on the issue of specifically paid sick leave in light of this coronavirus and even on the broader issue of healthcare? But on the paid sick leave issue, I know that there's talk of allowing paid sick leave in the case of a medical emergency like this one. But why not just 14 days of paid sick leave in general, COVID-19 or not?
Right. This kind of legislation has been proposed for years. This is the kind of thing that I think American workers definitely could use and deserve. So, if this is the impetus to get this passed now, because everyone sees how bad this is, it's also bad in usual flu seasons, right? There is a lot of contagious diseases that go on every year where people get very sick and many people die in this country. And so, to have this kind of situation, this pandemic brings it to the fore, then maybe that's the silver lining. But this isn't something that will go away. This is something that absolutely workers should have.
So, what would you recommend then that the federal government do at this point? I mean, it's kind of scary that our president admitted openly multiple times that he had no idea that the seasonal flu kills tens of thousands of people a year.
Right. Well, I think the positive thing here is that policymakers can do something, right? This isn't something where you just sit back and just wait for this thing to hit across the country. It is, right? It's like this slow-moving crisis for some, just watching it spread. We don't have to stand by and watch it spread. Policymakers can step up, and as you said, in terms of paid sick days, they can require employers to provide those paid sick days. Provide the economic incentives for workers to stay home, reduce the contagious spread of this disease. It's not all they should do, right? I mean, I think that we are going to have an impact, particularly these low-wage workers who have to stay home. Maybe they'll exhaust those paid sick days. We need them to stay home and be quarantined. And it's going to be hard if they have to make ends meet. And we need to make sure that those workers that are laid off because of a little bit of a slowdown, though it's expected. It's already happening, particularly in the service economy. And make sure that those workers are covered if they have layoffs, if their hours are reduced. So there's lots of different ways that the government can step up and help fill those gaps.
One would imagine, or at least hope, that lawmakers, worry about themselves because, we're talking about the average age of the lawmaker is, in the age range that's most vulnerable to this disease. They have to eat, they have to travel. All of the workers that serve their needs need to be properly quarantined if they are feeling symptoms. You would hope that they, who are dependent on the same workers that they rule over, would start to think of this in the long term, would start to think of it holistically, and even at least look out for themselves. And then on another note, I want to mention that the Chicago Teachers Union, with a very strong labor coalition behind them this week, are citing the coronavirus as and making demands to the city of Chicago for 15 days of paid sick leave, which is three times the mandate in the city itself. It seems as though now is a really good time for unions to, for at least workers who are lucky enough to have a union, to step up and make such demands across the country, right?
Absolutely. We know that union workers are much more likely to have health insurance. They're much more likely to have paid sick leave than their non-union workers. And oftentimes they can step up and absolutely fight for those benefits for non-union workers. That is, again, extremely important. And when those union workers stay home, they're also keeping the spread of contagion as well.
And actually, it would probably strengthen our economy. This is another really critical issue that even if all one cared about was the health of the economy, which unfortunately the president and many of his allies seem to be showing through their words and actions that that's pretty much what they care about. Even if that was all one cared about, doesn't paid sick leave of 14 days at least for workers across the country in the long term benefit our economy?
Yeah, absolutely. When we think about providing this basic labor standard to workers, when you're sick, you should stay home. When your kid is sick, you should stay home and take care of them. Don't send your sick kid to school. Don't go to school and maybe infect other people. There's a phenomenon known as presenteeism. That's when workers go to work when they're sick, and we know their productivity is down, they can spread that illness to their coworkers. They can spread that illness to their customers. And even when workers do get paid sick days, they tend to not even use as many as they get, so that it's not a system that is readily abused by workers either.
Well, where can people read your work and find out about the research around paid sick leave and the coronavirus?
Great, on our website, epi.org. That's the Economic Policy Institute.
And we'll link directly to the piece that you wrote as well. Elise, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Elise Gould is senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute, focusing on issues of wages, poverty, inequality, economic mobility, and healthcare. We've been discussing the piece she recently wrote called Amid COVID-19 Outbreak, The Workers Who Need Paid Sick Days the Most Have the Least. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.